is a production of Cornell University.
Great.
So excited.
Hi, everyone. It is 4:48, and we are going to start the student assembly meeting for October 2nd, 2014. Welcome to everyone in the community who's here. The first thing that we're going to do is our roll call. And Chelsea, when you're ready, could you please call the roll?
Unexcused.
Welcome. If this is your first guest day meeting, we have four new members today. So the first thing that we're going to do is take your oath of office, which you should have right in front of you. Hopefully this is the last time we'll have to do this year. So if you could please stand up, if this is your first meeting, so all of the freshmen, and take out your oath of office sheet and repeat the word after me. In view of the trust the Cornell community has vested in me, as well as my personal sense of honor, I state your name, do solemnly affirm to fulfill my responsibilities as a student elected representative. I will engage in open and honest debate. In a process where I am guided by truth and fairness. I will never purposely misrepresent facts.
I will never purposely misrepresent facts.
In an effort to achieve my goals.
In an effort to achieve my goals.
If a conflict of interest arises, I will relinquish my right to participate in the decision-making process. I will seek out and voice effectively the interests and concerns of the student body, address the issues of my fellow students, and strive to improve the quality of life at Cornell for all students. Thank you guys so much, and now you are officially members of the Student Assembly. Next we have open microphone, EVP Batista.
For those in the audience that aren't aware of, the microphone is a time for members of the Cornell community to address any problems or concerns or statements to the general body of the student assembly. If you'd like to speak, please come forward to the table, state your name and your year of graduation. And seeing none, we're going to move past the open microphone.
First on our agenda is Dr. Renee Alexander. So if you are ready, it's a little bit earlier than we were saying, but if you're ready, we could... Oh, wait, sorry. Sorry, 1 minute, I skipped something. We have to approve our meeting minutes from last week before we can move on.
Second.
So there's been a motion to approve and there's been a second. Is there any dissent? If I would like to approve this by unanimous consent. Seeing none, the minutes from last week are approved. And now, Dr. Renee Alexander can start her presentation on the review of the Hurtado study on the climate of, for diversity at Cornell. I think it might be better. Yeah, it's no problem. Actually, maybe while you're getting set up, we can do a couple of announcements. So, first, a Haven announcement by VP for Finance, Stefanko.
Sure. So, I have the pulled up report. I'll be doing this update every week really briefly. There are the organizations that we review throughout the guidelines and process within the appropriations committee. This last week we saw Haven, and they presented some of the work they've been doing. The committee felt that Haven continues to provide an incredibly valuable resource to both LGBTQ plus community as well as the wider Cornell community. In addition, they thought the events that they were doing were on the right track, but there were some efficiency issues that we addressed. Additionally, the committee believes that Haven leadership has done a good job of communicating with the student assembly regarding transparency in their organization and spending. There are a few things that they can improve upon there. Additionally, there were some administrative costs like pins and t-shirts that the committee felt were unnecessary and that they should attempt to eliminate out of their budget. Next week, we will be seeing Youth Night, and we will also be seeing 12 teachers. So if you have any interest in those organizations or hearing about them, please let me know and I'll invite you to use them.
Great. So Renee, would you like to start now or we can...
I'm ready. Thank you.
Awesome.
Again, good afternoon to all of our members and thank you for inviting me in. I always enjoy the president of Sign, and let me begin by congratulating you for all the good work that you do on behalf of the entire student body. In full disclosure, I think one of the reasons why I really like this group is I was a senior class president of my high school. And I think I must have skipped this chapter in my life when I was at Cornell. So it gives me a lot of connections to work with you. But like I said, I really do appreciate all the work that we just kind of got to us. Thank you again for inviting me in to discuss the Hurtado report, which was issued last spring. It was released, I think, in March, starting with the number of focus groups by Hurtado, Dr. Hurtado, which is here. I'm going to get right to it. And in your packet, I know that you already have a copy of the report released, the executive summary. But in the interest of duplication, I thought that I would bring a copy for the specific reason of showing you a highlighted area that says engagement and inclusion. And I'll get to that in just a minute. I'm going to start out by providing a little context for this study. In fact, my story will probably begin in the middle of April 1969 with the Rose Hall occupation, when the sense of campus climate was not on the radar. There was no research, not a body of language, or any way to help us decipher what led us to the occupation and the hostility and the chilly campus climate that a group of students felt on the campus. Let's fast forward again to present day, and the Hurtado team that came in here last fall to conduct this study. I know what you'd like. I'm going to, like I said, give you a little bit of context around campus climate and how it informs the experience as well. That's how you write those articles. And I'm going to get to the study. Write it down a little bit for you. I'll give you some examples of some of the work that we're doing that I think you need to be doing. And I'm going to ask this body for your support in helping us find ways to implement and do more around the suggestions that Dr. McConnell and the team suggest. I passed out this first piece called Campus Climate and Manifestation of Diversity. So let's just take a minute to set the context for what this campus climate means. We hear a lot, we have an idea, but we should have some strong ideas and opinions on it. Let's start with the theoretical framework. And so we have a very broad description of current perceptions, attitudes, and expectations that characterize the institution and its members. Sounds pretty academic, right? Well, it is. And this is part of her title's work. In terms of age, it says the institutional context is informed by the dynamics of an institution. The social legacy of inclusion or exclusion of various racial ethnic groups, its structural diversity, the composition, the demography. And mind you, I said, let's start with this rule in 1959 that makes reference to the social legacy of inclusion or exclusion of various racial groups. The psychological climate, relationships between groups, the behavioral dimensions portrayed by relationships among groups of campus. That helps us set the stage for what campus climate is and what it involves. So a possible campus climate will directly impact students' ability to transition successfully to college. They are less likely to develop a sense of belonging. Research shows that underrepresented minorities and other minority students experience climate differently throughout the white institutions than their majority counterparts. A positive campus climate, on the other hand, is welcoming, inclusive, celebrating diversity, celebrating differences, grounded in respect, nurtured by knowledge, and evidenced by a pattern of civil interaction. The research goes on to say that the more you have groups engaged in getting students in the same room, breaking down stereotypes, learning about difference across difference, the better the experience of everyone. So that's the context for the diversity and inclusion study conducted by the climate for diversity study conducted by Dr. Hurtado. I have highlighted in whatever part of this community of engagement and inclusion. I think it shows up 5 times in the executive summary alone. But why is that important? Because toward new destination has core principles, and this body is exercising several of them very strategically in the organized student body, engagement and inclusion. So they are composition, engagement, inclusion, and achievement. So, engagement and inclusion is local. It is the foundation of Dr. Hurtado's study. So, you see the intersection of what new definitions and the work of this diversity study. Okay? And you had very wonderfully established the work that you are doing on the foundation of engagement and inclusion. And like I said, Dr. Hurtado mentioned, there's no less than 5 times in the executive summary alone. So, engagement and inclusion, the work that you are doing on the foundation. Okay? She highlights, or they highlight, I should say, 5 critical areas that they think we need to be working on. And on the second page, she actually lists the work that's ongoing on this campus. So they are very astute to acknowledge what we are already doing. We are doing some, I would call it groundbreaking, but we're doing some significant work. That said, we move on to the 5 critical areas, and you probably review this document over and over. Authentic forms of engagement, diversity, skills, and knowledge, wide dissemination of harassment, power dynamics, and equity, bridging diverse communities. So let's start with authentic forms of engagement. We've done a terrific job on the compositional piece. We are more diverse than we've ever been. And we become more and more diverse every year. So what we've done basically is diversifying our student body, amassing a terrific like yourself from around the country and from around the world. We very much welcome you all here on this campus. And we need to give you more tools on how to navigate difference and learn from each other. Authentic forms of education. The study makes a lot of reference to chemistry, post-chemistry, okay? You get us here, you get us chemistry responsibilities, and you don't provide any authentic forms of engagement or diversity skills and knowledge after chemistry responsibilities. So, what Dr. McCullough's team tells us about authentic forms of engagement is you all want more of it. That we rely, according to the feedback that they got from the study, we as administrators rely a little too heavily on your self-reliance, your self-direction, your leadership, and your area we should be fighting for. Okay? The one-shot deals, responding, reacting to an incident that they're concerned about. A notable one would be 2.5 years ago at a school day when we had a racial incident on West involving a single party group of black students walking back to the park about 4 o'clock in the morning. And so that's an example of an incident, a response, a town hall meeting, signifying, giving some exercises to do, and actually worked out to be very successful. They had to work with us, made some major changes in their outlook on things, and we still have relationships with them. But the one shot deal, something happens, and then our response is to have a town hall meeting, and then it's all done. So you all are asking for deeper engagement, meaningful engagement beyond the one shot deal, and the superficial, and you want more leadership from us. Okay? Diversity, skills, and knowledge. And I'll get back to that chemistry of possibilities comment. It is probably the most thematic conversation around the study. Post-chemistry. In fact, the group of administrators and I, under my leadership and committee, are working on, we've made ourselves post-chemistry, but we are looking at it from our vantage point, what else can we and should we be doing to help our students engage. Diversity of skills and knowledge. I'm going to use a couple of examples as I talk through the study of what we are doing and possibly what else we should be doing. Okay? And also, she also highlights opportunity for action. Diversity training, post-chemistry. Everybody familiar with chemistry counselors? Okay, so you remember chemistry. How many students left after and say, wow, that was just wonderful. But what happened? Sorry? No. Okay, well, we'll get you to that in the chapter 3 part. It's an ordinary people with a student group that does skits, and they pick up all kinds of diversity things. So we'll get you up and running on that. We had an incident a couple of weeks ago, which we're helping bridges to bias, discrimination, and harassment. I had a student come to my office last Friday, black student in the School of Local Administration, and he told me a story about being in class early in the semester, and the faculty members called the roll. There were a group of Asian students sitting together, clustered together, about 4 or 5 of them. And the professor gets to the bells, and there were a couple of leads and moves in the class. And he says, well, you guys should be sitting together because you all look alike anyway. Okay. First day of class, professor calling the roll, and he said the students were X and the students were X. What do you do with something like that? Do students feel comfortable reporting something like that? What's the mechanism for reporting something like that? How many of you are familiar with our bias responsibility? Okay, I'm going to answer that in just a minute, because I need to get a few more words out when we have a discussion. Well, why would a student feel comfortable reporting an incident like that? We have a section called Power Dynamics and Ethics. The power dynamic in the classroom makes it very, very uncomfortable for students. living in the quarter of your lungs, even though they can come from another faculty or administrative staff person and have this report. Faculty members don't necessarily know who it was, but there's a fear. My grades had grown this. I could be a victim of a recrimination. There could be repercussions from a faculty member might be something if I report the incident. So back to diversity, skills, and knowledge. We had an incident just a few weeks ago. A group of Latino students were walking not too far from the Latino building center area. A group of white guys in a pickup truck drives by and says, "Go back to where you come from. Go back to your country." Well, they're visitors to their country, by the way, and they were absolutely horrified. They did have another preference of mine to go into their residence hall and report into their residence hall director, who rightfully suggested that they report into the bias responses. That's what they did. We were able to trace that back to the truck that they were in back to their residence opportunity on our campus. And so now we have someone, and we have white guys to the person who were probably guys. Hopefully we'll be able to identify them later. So now we have someone who is, has done something rather outrageous. Think about that camp employment model I made. How does a group of Latino students feel after something like that? It's not very good. But we have a system that helps identify who they were. But we actually gave the students involved a chance to say, what would you like to see? What kind of result would you like to see? What kind of outcome would you like to see? What are your suggestions? That the student or students be required to take in the Rosado project course, okay? Are you familiar with that? In Rosado? Okay. Another solution is going to have that person assigned to 626 again, be able to work with communities of color, and we have some models of engagement that will help him get involved with people who are different from him. So, diversity skills and knowledge is absolutely critical when we start identifying that as one of the things that we'd like to use as children on this campus. Coming from backgrounds where many of them have been engaged across districts, but we need to give you the tools. We need to take a moment like that and turn it into a learning opportunity and not a moment full of anger. So we gave the students who were victimized an opportunity to weigh in. And we are now going to take that student and have him do some work with that evening. Become more sensitized to people who are different from you. Bias discrimination and harassment. It exists across the campus. We have a system that can report it, but we need better diversity, skills, and education so that we increase knowledge and understanding about each other. In my view, this is my personal opinion, because I'm going to study and breaking down the story of the team. In my assessment, I think power dynamics in equity are actually the most difficult to get to. Within a system, there are people who benefit more than others. There are winners and there are losers. And it's just built into our way of doing things in America. How do you single out the power dynamic and levels and any people? How do you make sure that resources are equitably distributed on these campuses? I find this, like I said, to be the most difficult one, but Sylvia and her team called out three organizations and organizations that I'm a member of State Fed. I don't know if I'm supposed to say that or not. Secret societies create a division between us and them. That's part of our campus culture that affects the clients. So again, we have a lot of work to do on this area. Bridging diverse communities, and I think in some way connected to the first one, authentic forms of engagement. I like to think that the work that I do on this campus, the work that we do with the Division of Student Academic Services, the work of engagement and inclusion, the foundation of this report, the work that we do, I think that the DHS students would agree with me. Our job is to help people build bridges across communities. And so to that end, some of you are familiar with programs that we have created here. I'm running Breaking Bread. which is designed to get people in the room from very different communities. We've had a couple of issues we're planning right now. This is one of those issues. We did a little city of planning now to find out from both groups that were involved in that research a couple of years ago, and there are other examples. But what research shows, our best investment is getting the students like you. Well, you're the leaders, so I think it's your own front, but one of our challenges is how do you generalize and get more people involved across our campus? How do you break down these barriers and these walls and get more people involved who are basically very good people who haven't had a lot of experience engaging with people who are not from their community? So, bridging diverse communities is, we're working on it. We have a lot to do. I took a shot from it. And so, I just want to add in, for the little feedback.
Context. I reached out to
the group community, which is an interesting part, building relationships and breaking down some barriers. And so Pamela Lippitt and NGLC, another group of council, has had one chapter, which included six chapter presidents from Pantel and six women of color, roughly, from NGLC. We did it on the 16th of September. We're going to do another one. The key to these dinners, quite frankly, is the following. It's nice to have people in the room having dinner. That's step one. I have to take a look at where did this conversation go and what can we do as a public. Students have their own mind. I have to tell you that they've been very good luck with post-breaking bread events. And they've been successful. But when you think of the impact on the total Cornell community, it's actually very small. That's why we have to have a variety of programs going on at the same time. That's the goal. So breaking bread sets a standard for what we'd like to accomplish, so we need to have multiple programs being going on simultaneously. And so thank you for asking that. The Genesis has been an item successful. And we are trying to schedule more, but I got a call today from a member of the co-op community, and we're going to schedule the agenda with the co-op, and I think Mario is looking for the corner. So we're moving forward, and I hope to see you at the next dinner on Tuesday, October 18th. Thank you. Any other questions, comments? Thank you. Is that Matt?
Yes. Regarding United Student Body, that initiative, I just wanted to hear your thoughts on what we're currently doing well and what we could do better to further the goals of engagement and inclusion specifically.
I have been working on USB from the very beginning, and I'm really happy to see that, like our document, your document has evolved and streamlined as well, and I think that you are moving in the right direction. These initiatives take time. They take time. And we want immediate results, but with regard to toward the destinations, composition and achievement are really more quantifiable and measurable. But engagement and inclusion are more qualitative. And I refer to it as many people's hearts and minds. And so it takes time to do that. How do we get someone to unlock the bias of looking at a group of Asian students that you all would like to talk about? What is the privilege and the excitement of making a comment like that? How do you change people's thinking about that? We have a lot of work to do, and I think that you guys, I shouldn't say you guys, I think that this body has jumped out in front and has done a very good job, but the key is the long-term success of the program. And I think that you'll need to be the first thing that you can do is begin to take it to the second level. And I'm very, very involved with that issue, by the way, so you have to keep doing what you're doing with my hands. Thank you for that question.
So I guess we have touched on this a little bit, but I guess one of the issues that we already have with a lot of the diverse musicians is how do we really measure the success of these programs? I mean, like going to an event like that in a diverse mind, obviously that's a very powerful event and you learn a lot from it, but I think the follow through and seeing how successful it is always a challenging point. So do you have any advice for us, I guess, as we continue throughout the year to have diverse musicians, how do you really measure the success?
That is hard to measure, but it's not impossible. You have to start with the people that attended. And then you have to, you want to do a focus group post-event. After a little bit of time, you find out not only how that event impacted them, but what did they share with others? How did they take that message and impact their community? Because ideally, that's what you want. You want to get people in the room who go back and impact their community. And get people involved and have conversations. So I would suggest to something like that with that one line to the Fabulous Minds to get a group of people together for a focus group after a slight bit of time after the event. And then we can talk about research because that's something that we are very, very, very focused on. Outcomes assessment. And just what kind of impact is that in our community? And what will we need to know?
Do you want me to tell you who raised their hand?
Yes.
So first was Representative Allison.
Representative Allison.
So dealing with power dynamics and equity and change on necessarily negative relationships and issues with that has views that are very passionate on both sides of the argument, and my opinion, pushing doing something of that here did not allow for the touch even the people as to discuss that topic. So, I know assembly can come and even do something that there might be other issues where there's going to be a very private student body.
Okay, we've been in the study, we've read it, we all agree to do this stuff. what do we do now? Okay? I have some ideas. There are so much other needs to share with our university. I need to see their work. Ron Gibbon and I were talking about this at TAB, but this is an action document. This is not just something that should be determined. This is a living document, and it may morph, but this is what we need to be doing. So, how can the student assembly help us move the agenda forward? That's my question to you, I think.
If you have time, we have a whole list of people who have questions that I could go through. Great. Next is Representative Katami.
Thank you for going through your comments and your vision. I actually think you're on the university, and I'm one of the students on the members of the vice chair. And I know you're not going to attend on your work leadership here forward. This is a decision you're relying on before, which is more on the organization side and student side. In fact, I've been in the court today and now the university doesn't have to have some huge issues with that. The issue that's going to require everybody to follow up here. And I was just wondering, have you seen any issues with implementing what you're writing in policy before? Is there any issue that students and leaders are really going to make a new design that's going to be able to implement this? It's just in a way that ensures that everyone can work together.
Before I come up, 624, I think I better go back and read it. Okay, I think I have the idea of what it refers to. My work here on this campus is really about everyone feeling a sense of inclusion and safety. Okay, I had a meeting with the Muslims a couple of days ago. In fact, he was the one that sent his document to someone on his body. He was a catalyst in this meeting, and he came by the chair. I reached out to him, sent his own bar, and asked him to come in and talk to me. And he made a comment about, you know, I respect the work of this body and the student assembly. It's really their mission to do this. But what I want out of this is everyone to feel safe and a sense of inclusion on this campus. And I don't know what else to say besides, for those that are not on the board here, we have to teach them that this is our way of doing things here. And we have a lot of work to do. So I'm going to go back on that in 2024. But we have to, I like to cultivate the bias reporting. We need more bias reporting. Let's get it built, the channels, let's report it, let's find people who are responsible for abusing it, and let's help them learn more than we need to be reporting and conducting ourselves. So I really agree with better reporting. But we have to identify people's values and people's minds and people's ways of living to change. But this is stuff that's happening on the front. You're sitting next to people in class who may think very poorly about people from the LGBT community, or the black students that are sitting next to you, not here because of affirmative action, or the Asian students that they're sitting next to you, okay? But how do we get the people's attitudes like that when you're not talking about this? So it's difficult work. It's difficult work, but it's not impossible work. And I don't want to just run along, but let me stop there. I know I didn't answer your question, but what I can do is, I will get in touch with you. We'll talk a little more. I have to go back and read 6 months.
Great. So, I know it's 5:30, and if you have to go, just let me know. We do have two students who haven't asked questions yet, who are on our list. And for everyone else, if you don't have a chance to ask a question right now, we'll email out Renee's contact info, as long as that's all right with you, so that you can contact her directly. So first would be Representative Liz.
Hi, Dr.
Adam.
My name is I think a few months ago, I was involved in conversations that took place when Hillary was running her report here, and I ended up learning a lot in the conversation. And one of the things that we brought up was that in conversation, you know, how she was on the so glad that I brought that resolution to light. And I guess like, I have questions and comments. I'm going to start with some questions first. How do you reach out to students or groups who don't seek out professionals in your own industry. Because I know that USC is one way that the SA tries to prevent the conversation about the need for inclusion. I'm really interested in what it is that we can do as a body to better address diversity issues in our own programming. And, I really thought a lot about the example that you brought up today. And that was my comment, is just like me as a student group, we need to be proactive and not reactive. And I think that one way that we can do that is to check the market, like a research dialogue project. That way, we could increase the dialogue with the people who feel like they have those higher requirements in it, or to educate the people who not necessarily be part of the future. Also, this is something that I think about a lot and I think about constantly. And so far, the only types of events that I can think of to extend the conversation are ones that are required. So, for example, we'll have a few questions here for the diversity inclusion plan in UGC. But what I'm really looking for is something that's more organic. And I really want to retain on more organic ways that we can raise awareness about diversity issues on campus. This is maybe a possible project that we're working on to move forward.
When Dr. Hurtado was here last October, she came to my office a couple of times to meet. And for those of you that have been to my office and met a lot of you, I was looking at something. I kept pointing to the Freshman Village, the first year village in New York. You all have been to Freshman a lot more recently than I have, and so I say that because my reference to Sylvia and to you is, think about the first year of experience. What goes on in the first days and weeks and months of your social life and current grooming in the residence halls, in the dining halls, and in the classrooms? Is there anything that we can do in the first year of experience that can change how people navigate? People are going to shake out their minds and forms, but what else can we be doing early on in the first year that gives people a perspective on difference, diversity, and who we ultimately become friends with and socialize with? I'd like for you all to help me think about that, because I think you can be doing a lot more in the first year experience. The first semester experience, because I don't need to call out Greeks. And I have a healthy appreciation for Greeks. I was not here when I was here at that time. I was here with lots of stories between Greeks and many other communities. But as I talk to people in Greeks, it's about forming brotherhood and friendships and relationships, and I get that. But early on in the spring semester, people begin to, in fact, they have a bunch of systems to get this gravitational pull of the system. So that's one way of forming socialism. What else goes on, like I said, that impacts how people react and interact with each other? Because when people just start to rush and get involved in the race system, there's a number of gravitational forces that impact how we not have that public experience. How can we offer that? How can we take advantage of that and contribute to a more diverse campus climate? So I know that's a long and strategic answer, but I'm really interested.
So our last speaker will be Representative Yang.
Again, Dr. Alexander, thank you so much. I apologize right now that it's a little bit late to the initial speaking, but you did ask for a suggestion
slide. I did.
And especially for the one you just reviewed, you just pointed out your suggestions with the freshmen now, maybe don't know where you're up to now. But I used to be in my right step. But next door, I had to call the International Student Center. So I had frequent interactions then. So I had interactions with international students. However, students who are going as far away as like a or a mulch, they might not necessarily have these interactions with international students or huge ones. But we see no limit. I had zero interactions with no limit. And that's, I understand that it is. Having these communities are very important, also taking away the outside community as well. Like, I reach out to some place I never really went to that. And at that point in time, cutting down on the chance to meet other people that are actually happening. So that's maybe one question looking at that. Maybe you guys are starting to think about this. What I'm just trying to say is, you need to
great, but I am going to put a limit on speaking time for representatives. I'm sorry that we have to do this. But again, if you have more detailed questions, or if you've spoken earlier, I'm sorry, Representative Fridman, but you're on the second speaker's list at this point. Please feel free to email Renee just so that everyone has a chance to speak in the meeting who would like to speak. The first person would be Representative Gudansky.
How long should we?
Oh, speaking time will be like a minute and a half.
So this is a presentation. So you mentioned more of a class that I did in the class that I
beneficial to support the students in discussing these issues at Washington. We have the open hall hot topic discussion. We talked about issues very openly, very candidly, and I learned people's definition of what they were. It was interesting because for one student to still hear your thoughts in a group setting, it's hard to be expressed and develop this issue. And I think it allows the students to form a bond and don't necessarily form the students that you don't have as much conversation with. So I think that's a strong suggestion, but I think even if people are the students of, or like are the victims or of a cause of racial or bias students, even maybe that they can be a class like that could be a solution to that problem.
Thank you. And I think the suggestion that people who have done something that's just emboldening and into a dialogue is a possible solution. We have to consider if they really don't want to be there, they can be a spoiler for the class as well. But on the other hand, I haven't had one student that didn't walk out of that experience transformed. And I wish that we could make it something closer to what they're requiring. But we can use people like you to be the champions and the cheerleaders for the course. It is absolutely, we just don't have enough students to sit here. I mean, we need to get 100 students to take a semester with 13,500 grads, and then it's longer than that. But for those that take it, they have 2 minutes at a time. So, spread the word. We can get the right people in the room to do what we can to preach to the choir. Thank you for your question.
Representative Lee.
Thank you very much for coming today. I'm Diana, and I'm from New Jersey. So I actually just went through this process. My second time around, because I was in school last year. And I can say that I'm a little disappointed with how the Cornell Angels Diversity Initiative is our organization. To my knowledge, there are not very many organizations that can perhaps one way of changing these diversity organization committees and creating some sort of cultural there, which I actually enjoy on my platform. I think that there is a lot of opportunity for us to go and meet people in different backgrounds. We have to meet it for the most part in Lake Niagara, Pasadena, Riverside College now, or our North campus, and we never lived on North campus, so we don't know where cultural hubs are. And that's a problem. For those of us who might want to go and live in cultural hubs, the housing moderator is a really incredibly easy thing. So again, I have no idea where it is, but it's kind of said, it's an area of campus. So perhaps we can have the measures in the state so that they have the opportunity to decide whether or not we want to go to cultural hubs. And also work with the community that's your orientation this next semester and what are the things that we're doing.
I took note of it, and I think that Cornell did a much better job on promoting the cultural housing program. I happen to support it, by the way. I think it's just another option. And there are often, there are probably more diverse people than us, so they have this image of that's for black students, that's for Latino students. Actually, there are a lot more diverse than that, so thank you for your point. I'm open to meeting with anybody. In fact, I prefer meeting with you visually than to email you. My goal is to keep it on my calendar, and I prefer to speak to you one-on-one.
Great. So I think we're actually going to cut off the speakers list there. We have a lot of people who still want to speak, and like you said, it might be better for everyone to meet with you individually or as a group in another setting. But I would like to thank you so much for your time, and we really appreciate you coming here to talk about this.
Thank you for inviting me. This is a long-term commitment. It's not easy work, but it's certainly important work, and I consider this body to be on the team. So thank you for having me in.
Thank you so much. All right. Moving on with our agenda, we're going to go through the announcements that we didn't finish before. First announcement will be an outreach announcement by VP for Outreach from Dari.
We have 3 different outreach events that are happening within the next 2 weeks at the FAA. We are involved in some sponsoring. So in 2 weeks, I sent you guys an email about that. Please sign up here on Friday, October 24th. It's a all-day volunteer event. It's recognized by the City of Ithaca. It's into the streets day, so really get involved. itself is a great way to really engage with the greater community. So we're doing a voter registration rally this Friday with the Cornell Democrats and Cornell Republicans. Again, I think I emailed you guys a sign-up sheet about that, so please sign up. It's a good way to get people, again, engaging in the community. And then the third outreach announcement that we have is it's Sunday at 2. We talked about this at our last meeting, one of the things that we use our special project funding for. So I highly recommend you attend. Again, count on one of your outreach events if you do attend it. So please do that. Also, fill out your outreach forms. Let us know when you guys are going to be. So our next announcement will be from our Panhellenic liaison, Phoebe. But in Cush's place about the election. Great, thank you so much. Our last announcement is actually going to be from Gina John Batista from the Office of Assembly.
Thank you very much. I just wanted to, remind you all that the Office of Assembly has an open house tomorrow from 9 to 11. And if you share that with your constituency, that'd be great. The ombudsman is sort of mysterious. This is a way to debunk that. The consequence of what they do, the service is open to students. It's for the whole entire Cornell community. And it's important that you all as student leaders know what the resources that body offers. Because keeping in mind some of the anecdotal stories that Renee talked about here tonight, that is a resource for at least going and talking to somebody confidentially and anonymously to work through some of the issues or questions or challenges you might have. And the second announcement I have is this is more of a universal communication today, but we have an event next week. We're going to be doing aerial video photography for the Centennial Video. This will be the actual universal video presented on Saturday. And I need student actors, so I'm going to reach out to each of you, and I'm going to ask each of you to help me fill out those slots. They will be doing it all week, different places, different times. We're going to be a lot of students, so when you get that email, timely, please help me out. Thank you very much.
Great. Thanks, Tina. Next, we're going to move on to business of the day. Resolution 14, repealing odd even parking in the 4th Ward. And just a reminder, guys, we can continue to debate this until 6:30, but we will have to go into at least a brief executive session to elect those few internal positions quickly. And if we do finish debate on this earlier, then we will probably adjourn at 6:30. Is everyone clear? Awesome. 4 minutes.
Okay. So I think that's the version 14. I'm going to give you some background. We'll be a lot of members this week and some people who have joined the last couple of weeks and So in December 2013, Angus Rockley Meyer created a task force in order to evaluate odd-even parking. For those of you who don't know, odd-even parking is in effect from November 1st to April 1st. It says no parking between 2 a.m. and 6 a.m. on any other city street on the odd number of side of the road. For the odd number calendar day of the month, and the same thing for even side and even day of the month. And so this is meant in order to improve efficiency of the Department of Public Works and the Department of Queen Mary Street. And so Mayor Meyer commissioned the task force that's staffed by a couple people on the Common Council
final location or the number of times that anyone who parks on the street to reduce the number of times they have to move their car on any given week. But also improving the efficiency of the Department of Public Works, improving the efficiency of enforcement of parking rules, and just in general improving quality of life for any residents who do park on the street. And so current problems that the task force investigated relating to fraud and murders, dangerous and specific conditions that students had to move their car on during the winter. And a lot of the time when students are moving their cars, it's completely unnecessary since DPW only does cleaning and floor clearing approximately once a week. So even though you're moving your car 5 times a week, most of the time it's completely unnecessary. So it makes sense to cut down on those. It's also inconvenient just the fact that people have to move their car every day, which is completely unnecessary. And so they came up with a new plan, which is once a week on any given street, there's no parking from 4 a.m. to 4 p.m. And so if you think of this like logistically, audience makes 50% of the street available for parking, whereas this plan, where it's once a week on any given day, would make parking available on 80% of the street space. So it's typically increasing the parking supply in the winter months when students have to. In the past, we moved the streets to move the car from one side of the street to another. Something we talked about last week, people were concerned that this would increase the number of cars in general and to be greater in terms of sustainability. This plan definitely won't do that because it doesn't do anything about changing August parking supply. So, students who bring their cars in August and maintain it, keeping the parking supply more constant over the course of the year, so that when it starts in November, different policies for the winter months, parking goes from 100% during August to 80% in the winter rather than 50%.
30 seconds.
I'm going to ask for a motion to extend by 4 minutes if we have enough time.
No defense, yeah.
Motion takes them by 2 minutes.
Defense.
Okay, so there is a motion on the floor. What?
Defense. Also defense.
Okay, so if you dissent, that means that we have to vote on whether we are going to do that motion or not. So there is a motion to extend by, the first one was for 4 minutes on the floor, and there was dissent. If you would like to explain that dissent, one of you can have 30 seconds to do so.
I'll take 15 of the 15. We've already talked about this for many years. We understand what this is about. We do not need to hear another 4 minutes of this.
Yeah. Also, just because we have time doesn't mean we need to use it.
All right. So there has been, the dissent has been explained. Now we are going to move on into voting on this motion. So, if you would like to extend their speaking time by 4 minutes, please raise your placards. Oh, just so you guys know, for our newer members, are you guys clear on how the voting works? Okay, just making sure. If you are opposed, please raise your placard. And if you would like to abstain. By a vote of 16-5-0, we do have 4 extra minutes for you to speak.
Okay, so this plan, by increasing the supply of parking during the winter months, it keeps cars closer to their homes in college town. So under the current plan, there's a lot of parking facilities in Bell Sherman and a lot of residential areas. So this is one reason why this may make sense, because it increases the supply during the winter months and keeps cars closer to home and have to make the neighborhood. So they sign off the main car cost for this. Is $150,000 one-time cost of the full implementation of the sign. That would be as opposed to a yearly expense in the current system, which is say $220,000 over the course of 8 years, I believe, not including the efficiency savings from enforcement and DPW. And any sign costs for a trial or enforcement. So just about the feedback, the task force had four public meetings, they had very low attendance at all these meetings, and pretty much everyone who attended was a resident, a former resident, so they got a lot of feedback from one stakeholder in this issue, and I think it's very important to do feedback because we are a big stakeholder in this. We make up 95% of the fourth ward, and I believe more than half of the HIPAA population. And the Common Council really wants our feedback on this issue, and I think we really have to give it to them. They came to our meeting a couple of weeks ago. We're desperately waiting for impact from students because they haven't had it yet, and I think we really need to speak up with this resolution. Going forward, I want to work with that Kevin and even present this to the Common Council meeting on whatever it is, advocate for some kind of test on a small scale in college towns so we can learn more about whether or not this would benefit students and residents in the nation. And I think we use a lot of FDA resources to communicate these changes to reduce the number of students. So I'm going to pass it to Matt.
You have
a
few
minutes. There are some signs and lights that we have found within some of the student assemblies we have here. This issue is not complex nor divisive. Hearing was so covered by those involved a few weeks ago, Mayor Fonte had chief staff of the settlement and all the persons assembled to talk explain the proposal in person to the assembly. There are two lingering questions. Why now and why at all? And I think it's two factors to their purpose. Last year, auditing violations were responsible for $100,760 in fines. While work to the data is not a year, 60% of the city's population is enrolled in college and graduate school, and students are more likely to rely on street parking than homeowners who might have access to driveway and garage. Last week, there was some concern over due diligence in parking assembly, reminding me of negative outcomes in mind. I'd like to go to that concern to remember the director of parking and the assistant superintendent of the Department of Public Works, the very people who oversee the current system and would be responsible and accountable for any problems with the new system, are co-authors and supporters of the proposal. Furthermore, last week, in discussing potential additions to Class 4Y, we set certain standards on what kind of due diligence is required by the assembly. Let's do the same here. We should look at this through the lens of how it affects students. Just like in school life, the rest will be worked out down the line by those best equipped campus in particular. And there's very little value in depositing what is. As we move this discussion, I'd like to remind the assembly that this proposal represents half a year of free resources. And this is my focus, cut this piece on 200-page environmental impact statements and transportation studies. None of us here have the resources to evaluate the feasibility of the plan, nor do we have any reason to doubt those making these suggestions. But we can easily understand the benefits. Thank you for your time.
Great. So now we're going to move on to our speakers list because your time has expired. The first person on the speakers list is Vice President for Finance, Shabanka.
So I still have a lot of skepticism over this proposal and a couple comments, I guess. First, I think I don't want to compare this in terms of due diligence to the mental health resolution because this is something that costs money. First of all, I understand it's not the student's money, but still a concern. And additionally, I think that it can have negative impact, and I'm not comfortable with just assuming that we can interpret the benefits like you indicated, but we cannot also interpret the disadvantages. It seems odd that we have the ability to easily understand those, but we can't potentially investigate the feasibility or the disadvantages for some reason. Because for me, when I just look at what the potential disadvantages are in making kind of an immediate determination on this, is that the students could have higher levels of if you're investing a significant amount of money in something that we haven't told the students on whether or not this is the direction we want to go. I'm more than happy that students have an opinion and a voice and some sort of direction to go, but I'm not comfortable with just assuming that what you've proposed here is the best solution without speaking to students on what they want to do. I also, and this is something that we've had in multiple conversations with council members and other people that are within the city of Ithaca, I don't think this is an issue that is incredibly time sensitive, so I don't understand, you know, why we're trying to determine something so quickly. In our conversation, Fonte and Myra had pretty, in my opinion, kind of unequivocally determined that this is something that's probably not going to be dealt with until February or March. And I understand that you're here to bring it up as soon as possible, but I don't think that, you know, coming up with this sort of rash solution and saying, oh, we're not even going to consider what the disadvantages are, is the most appropriate direction. I think it's a conversation you can have, you know, with much more diligence over 4 or 5 months, and not one that, you know, we can come up with in, you know, a week and a half or two.
You can respond.
Yeah, so the first one is, it definitely does impact student money. $1,000 a ticket on my vision term plan. In terms of the number of tickets, and the number of, and the amount of action required on the part of students in park, it's five moves a day versus, or 5 moves over the course of a week versus one, so I think it's definitely more simple and a lot more confusing.
As a charity, I'm going to just quote from a letter here. I'm writing to you today to voice my concern about the current parking situation. It's quite clear in the area near Cornell University's campus and around college town. Parking is much more difficult than it seemingly needs to be. The parking policies are unclear, confusing, and inconsistent. With some areas being 24-hour parking, some 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. at term only, 1 p.m. to 5 p.m. at term only, metered parking, etc. It's very hard to keep up with where it is accessible to park. As of my 24 Cornell student, I signed my lease to my current parking for 11 months in advance. I was going to park my car on Oak Avenue, for I heard there was free parking there. This is a college student. I am living about a mile away at the time. I did not check it for a few days. When I managed to check it out, the car was gone. I mean, there's not clarity right now that you seem to be saying this isn't going to make it any less here. In fact, this is basically a referendum on the parking situation, off-street parking situation, and, you know, the proposal, we're just saying that parking is bad right now for students, and they're going to keep going forward. Students have said repeatedly that they want to create clarity
great. That was exactly perfect timing. All right. Next is Representative Ali Khan. Yes, point of information is directed at the chair. Sure. So pretty much everything that goes through the assembly, whether or not it's something that President Horton has like direct control over, I send it to him. Other than him, the people who would be CC'd on this email would probably be the people who are at our meeting and the mayor. You know, the council members that we've been working with and the mayor, so that they're in the loop. And whoever else is on the action listserv. So I know there's a lot of people in the president's office and university communications.
Okay. Another question. I think we have one problem.
Yes, so the first part about feedback from multiple perspectives, so in the task force report, there were comments, you had a lot of input from a lot of public hearings about people who had suggestions for the plan. But the main security is just people who aren't affected by the policy and don't park on the street versus more student population. This is actually something that we've been talking to people on the assembly about since July. I mean, the public hearings happened over the summer when students were even around.
The longer it sits, the longer it rots, the less likely we are to have any change in the cost of the students. Some of the cost of town area form district, we saw that over the years it got cut back substantially from the plan that was originally put forward by consultants hired by Cornell. If we don't express an opinion, then we don't have an opinion.
Great. Next on our speakers list is Representative Johnson. Great. So next on the speakers list is Vice President for Outreach, Ron Murray.
Kind of similar to some of the things brought up earlier by Dr. Johnson. So I guess one of the questions I have for you, I know you reached out to our group and I think it was fantastic, and I think that the feedback you got from us took into consideration. So I just wondering if you reached out to any other groups on campus to the group. Because the only concern I really see with this is that having enough student input, and I think that you've done the body itself has done a very good job at doing the research outside, but I just want to know if you reached out to other students here.
In terms of outreach, I think we have done a lot of degree. On the essay, outreach sources, basically stuff we put up, stuff about the task force report, and other materials like that. But in terms of getting feedback, I think one of my biggest goals is sometimes just this is in place, either self-storage or people in the qualified area. I know that was part of the plan that they should be that by Seth and Steven. Have you talked about the staying involved for
No, not really about this issue beyond
change over the course of the semester regarding carving and then just the audience.
And so I think just from anecdotes and from the past year complaints, I mean, the whole region,
All right. Next on our speakers list is Representative Fridman. Next on our speakers list is Vice President for PR, Marsha.
So my, I guess, question for you guys is obviously, I feel like this resolution is more targeted to students who don't already have parking spots in college town. So for instance, I have a car, I live in college town, I have a parking spot. So for me, audience parking would never really be an issue because I wouldn't park on the street to begin with. So I guess my biggest skepticism when it comes to this resolution is I want to make sure that enough students are really being impacted by autism for, like, versus other students who already have a parking spot so they wouldn't park on the street anyway.
Yeah. I mean, I think it really impacts people who are living in college for the first time and don't know that starting November 1st is parking to apply to the street from 100% to 50%. So I think it really impacts people who are in parking on the street and are in residential buildings more than apartments where they have parking spots. But even if it doesn't impact a lot of students, I mean, the anecdote that we talked about from tickets telling and having to move your car 5 times during the week, I think the amount of impact and how much change will go to you by having this and trying to get something like this to happen really makes up for reading on the traffic and stuff. It's not going to work.
Just procedurally, the questions and comments about who has been engaged in the conversation, and what the representatives of you are truly representing the commission in this legislation on the presented last week. Reach out to your commission seat and bring that back. That is the most effective way to this body and hear from the student body as a whole. There could be forums and things that you also have, and the elected representatives are responsible for bringing your voices back. Just a point of information. Thank you.
Thank you so much for that very valuable point, Gina. It's all of our job always to be reaching out to our constituent group about the things that we're talking about during our meetings, and it's important that we remember that. Next on our speakers list is Representative Yang.
Okay.
Yeah. Technically, point of information is directed at me, but you can have a point of inquiry to them.
Longer term, and that
I mean, you guys can just nod your head. Seeing as there's no one else on the speakers list and our time for the meeting, well, there is a second speakers list, but there's no one on the first speakers list. What?
Call the question.
So there's been a motion to call the question, but hang on. You don't need to raise your placard if you have a motion, so everyone's aware. Because our first speakers list has expired, I was going to call for people who haven't spoken yet, who would like to speak before the meeting expires, to speak. However, there has been a call to question. Has it been seconded? There's dissent, and there's no second. So
there was a second.
Oh, there was a second? Oh, you said second. Okay. Sorry. so there was a second. Is there any dissent? Dissent? All right. Would you like to explain your dissent?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I was going to say this in my conversation. I think my comments have been misinterpreted. I'm not saying that, you know, parking is complex or there aren't issues. I just think that there has not been a discussion of all the options or what additional options are. I think it's very clear that the people presenting this resolution have an opinion on what they think is the best option, and the people they presented to us have the same opinion, but I have yet to hear other options available to us to solve this complex issue, and until I hear those, I am not going to be comfortable voting on this resolution. If we vote on it, I will vote no, because I don't know what else is, you know, out there, because we're getting a lot of, I feel like, biased people presenting their opinion that, you know, promotes the opinion of the people presenting the resolution.
So now we're going to do something really exciting for the new freshmen. It's called a vote to vote. So we do this a lot, and if you raise your placard when I say, if you raise your placard that you do approve of this motion, you're saying that you are ready to move into a vote on this piece of legislation. If you say that you're opposed, that means that you think that we need more time to debate, discuss, or do more research on this. And if you abstain, that is kind of like you're removing yourself from the vote. Most of the time we save that for special circumstances, like if you're, you have some sort of like bias or conflict of interest. So right now we are going to move into this vote to vote. This is not a vote on the legislation itself. It is a vote on whether we should vote on the legislation itself. Are there any questions before I move on? I mean, I think we've already heard dissent. I'm sorry, I'm not going to hear that at this time. Just because we are running low on time, and I know a lot of people have prelims tonight, and we need to elect some internal representatives. And guys, can I ask for a little bit of decorum just so that we can hear when everyone's speaking? So right now we're going to do a proper vote. If you would like to approve of the vote to vote, meaning you think we are ready to vote on this, please raise your flag. All right. If you are opposed to voting on this at this moment, please raise your placard. If you'd like to abstain, please raise your placard. How do I have more numbers? All right. I think someone left the room and came back, because now we have more people again. So 16-5-2, we are going to go into...
Do we get any voting for the
second one? Okay. I can give you guys 2 minutes to close, and then we can go into a vote.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's really hard why people have looked at some alternative system to automation for months. I think we could just stop for months. And anything else, any other countries to look for more systems, I think that system makes more complacent instead of sort of doing memory exchange. Students are the most negatively affected by this policy, and I think they should be the most eager to try and find a solution. And I think that's really what we're looking at with the ones we use your car. It's a huge issue for a lot of students. People get choked, people get tickets. It's really inconvenient and unnecessary. Students are really important stakeholders in this decision, and I think we need to have a voice at the table. I don't really want to do that today, and I hope you will get it.
And also, we're not the ones who ask people to come and speak. It was their ballot, who is not biased. It bothers the mind that, you know, you keep hearing that and thinking that that's the kind of thing.
Great. So, now that we voted to vote, we can go into the actual vote. So, what? Yes, this is a sense of the body vote. So, I am going to call for a roll call vote, just for everyone at the table, if that's all right with you. Chelsea, do you have to go? Okay. So because this is a sense of the body resolution, that means it's the community members or people in the audience, and us as the CO members of the student assembly, we normally wouldn't have a vote, do have a vote on this issue, and their votes will be divided into a majority, and then we'll count towards our final vote. So if you're in the audience or you're next to the CO member, please raise your hand or placard if you are in favor of this resolution for repealing not even parking in the fourth ward. Oh, not members right now. Raise your hands high. Awesome. Please raise your hand or placard if you are opposed to this resolution. Please raise your placard if you would like to abstain. Not yet. You guys are next. It's totally fine. All right. So the community vote of 5-1-0 means that there will be two votes in favor counted towards our vote for roll call. Now we're going to go into a roll call vote, which is different than a placard vote, which is what you guys have mostly seen this year. A roll call vote happens usually when we're voting on something major and we want to keep track of how everyone's voting. So Chelsea will call your name, and when Chelsea calls your name, you may either say yes, no, or abstain. You could also say pass if you're undecided, but that is something that we don't encourage. Only say pass if there is a really strong reason why you can't vote at this time and not immediately. So if Chelsea is ready, I actually forgot to let Jordan explain exactly how this vote works, and I'm sorry about that, Jordan. So Jordan's going to explain how the voting works for this.
This resolution is a sense of the body resolution. It will require a majority vote of the SA members of the staff and community members of the party.
Thanks. So, Kelsey, whenever you're ready.
Austin?
No.
Barbara?
Yes.
Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mandari?
Yes.
Yes.
Rebecca?
No.
Kittle?
Yes.
Rasheed?
Yes.
Horshaw?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
Zach?
Yes.
Okay. So vote by a vote of 22-2-1, including the community vote. Yeah. Yeah, but including the community vote. So it's 22 including the community votes in favor. So by a vote of 22-2-1 overall, this resolution does pass. Thank you both very much for all of your hard work. And before we do adjourn the meeting and go into executive session to do a vote really quickly, Representative Fridman needs to make a really quick last minute announcement. There's a motion to adjourn on the floor. Is there a second? If there's no dissent by unanimous consent, I am going to call to be adjourned the meeting, but I'm going to ask the student assembly members, do not leave the room because we should vote on a couple of things and it should only take a few minutes, and we're going to be extra timely because I know a lot of you have prelims.
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.